That's getting better every time we do it, man.
We're getting flawless.
I know. It's like,
I don't want to say pros.
Yeah. And you know what?
I don't want to say that.
Yeah. For anyone else out there listening, we don't plan that. We just do it, and just it gets more succinct every time we do it.
Yes.
Like, we never talk about, like, hey, we're going to do it this way or anything like that.
I think that's why it's so great.
I know. I think that's why it makes the most sense. And at some point, we'll actually get, like, a professional band to play that.
That was my somewhat Metallica, but horrible.
Yeah. Racing to the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zach Wild.
Zach Wild. Yeah.
Lars Ulrich doesn't sing and is kind of snivelly.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, yeah, so
lead us in, Race.
Welcome back to Race of the Mic, friends. Out there in Listen Land, we are I'm a bit distracted because we're kind of watching the Canucks here in the second period.
Live.
Up 4-2 on the Edmonton Oilers. Four goals on four shots. Never seen that happen.
Yeah, fucking A. That was sick.
Yeah. I was watching that right now, but yep. we're gonna talk about a couple different things here. You know, Mike, you can throw it in if I'm missing things, because we've had a couple of beverginos. So we're gonna talk a little bit about the Tom Wilson situation.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna talk a little bit about the Canucks AHL affiliate.
Yep.
Just been okayed by the AHL Board of Governors.
Damn straight for Abbotsford.
Abbotsford.
Woo!
We're gonna talk a little bit about that. What else are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about, there we go, a round of applause for that. We're going to talk a little bit about the younger players on the Canucks getting some looks. We just watched Jack Rathbone score his first goal, so we'll talk a little bit about that.
And Cole Lynn's
been playing. Yeah. Joe Nagajevich is now with the team. So, You know, we have a bunch of our younger players who are getting, a bunch of our prospects getting some good looks now in the NHL, because the Canucks are, you know, I think one or two games away from being completely eliminated.
Yeah.
But hey, we'll talk about that as well. And maybe we'll even get into we're into our last week of fantasy here.
Oh yeah, right.
So maybe we can mention that. I know you checked out a couple weeks ago. I know you checked out a couple weeks ago, and you helped Peter pretty much solidify his win, but we'll get to that later. So that's what we're gonna be talking about today on Race to the Mic.
Race to the Mic. I don't know, that's nice.
That was good, I like that.
I'll start doing it more often.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think, why don't we just start talking about more present news about Tom Wilson, and also in that category, the new hires of Chris Drury and Mark Messier.
Yeah.
Because they replaced, what, Jeff Corton and who the fuck's the other guy as well?
This is horrible. I'm going to look it up right now. I should have had this ready. Who is it?
If anybody has actually looked at that Tom Wilson, I think it's very split down the middle. And all I keep seeing basically on social media is just how much of a, like, pussies the New York Rangers are.
Jeff Gorton.
Yeah.
Not Gordon. Gorton.
JB.
And John Davidson, who was the team president. Uh-huh. We all knew Jeff Gorton was the general manager there.
Yeah. And now, replaced by a couple ex-Hall of Famers, in a sense, right? Like, is Drury in the Hall of Fame? I don't know.
I don't think he is.
But it goddamn should be. Detroit Red Wing, like, legend as well. Yeah. And hey, New York Ranger guy as well, right? So.
Chris Drury?
Yeah.
He never played for the Red Wings.
What?
Chris Drury?
Who am I? Draper.
You're thinking of Chris Draper. Chris Drury. Definitely played for the Rangers. Played on the Avalanche. Played on a couple other teams.
I wish I had a wah-wah,
no,
but
we
don't.
But we'll just do a seal or a donkey.
No, how about a donkey?
There you go.
I deserve that one. Yeah,
that's
sure.
Kind of like a wah-wah.
That is a
wah-wah. Higher pitch.
That kind of sucks. That was me on that one.
I love that.
But anyway, for the Tom Wilson hit, Race, we actually haven't discussed this, by the way. This is something we wanted to keep candid for this episode.
Yeah, actually, we talked.
What is your opinion in that Tom Wilson incident? Do you think it should have had a suspension added to it? Do you think it was a fair play by George Parros to, like, not do anything? We'll also get into that. There's a lot to deep dive into.
Yeah.
So, what's your opinion?
So I will defer to the head of NHL player safety, who is George Parros, who I don't think there is ever going to be a person better positioned to be in charge of that.
Yeah.
George Parros being the mustached knuckler that we knew him to be. Just walloping people, just missing punches and knocking himself out on the ice.
Harvard graduate.
Harvard graduate, yeah. George Parros.
Not bad.
That guy, you know, it's, I think, you know, he was an enforcer his entire NHL career.
Yeah. New code.
He knows what's up, right? So I'm going to defer to him. And I think that we can glean a little bit from the New York Rangers getting fined for their comments on George Parros, wanting him to be fired. Calling for his job.
Bad move, bro.
And then we just see the president and the GM of the Rangers losing their jobs instead. So yeah. I'm going to defer to them, and I'm going to defer to George Parros in this situation and say that I feel like he called it right. He already suspended Tom Wilson for seven games earlier for the hit on Brandon Carlo.
Yeah.
Right? He made a good case for that. I haven't actually watched the video of why he explains why there was no suspension.
Yeah.
I mean, the punch on Buchnevich is definitely a penalty and definitely a 10-minute, if not a game for that. That's a sucker punch to the back of the neck region, you know. And we didn't see Buchnevich leave with a long-term injury like we saw Panarin. But now, you know, Tom Wilson's out now with a lower body injury because of all the payback that we saw happening the very next game, right?
Yeah.
And Buchnevich himself just got a one-game suspension for that cross-check to the face of Anthony Mantha.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't. I think maybe in that situation the refs could have handled it a little bit better. But
yeah,
I really don't feel having watched. I didn't watch it live, but I watched the highlights of it. You know, Panarin's jumping in there like other teammates of his probably should have before. I mean, we saw Strome try and jump in there first.
Oh yeah, he was the first one to jump in.
Tom Wilson is kind of right. He's a little bit more of a point scorer than someone like Ryan Reeves. But they're both the tough guys.
Oh, but he's
who can just dummy pretty much anyone. But they also are going to pot a bunch of goals.
Man,
so,
he's a power forward.
Exactly. Like, you know, there's not really that many players that are like him. Tom Wilson.
He's almost a dying breed.
Yeah, and you can say, oh, well, he plays on the same line as, you know, Backstrom, or he's been playing on with Ovi, or he's been playing with whoever, so he's going to get more chances that way. Yeah, sure, you know, just like we're going to see anyone who's playing with Draisaitl or McDavid get a bump, right?
Yeah.
But that being said, he's kind of, like what you were saying, Mike, a bit of a dying breed with this guy who can be an enforcer.
Yeah.
You know, Wade Simmons, I put him in that sort of area. Yeah. Wade Simmons of the Flyers, Wade Simmons, because on Toronto he's playing a totally different role than he was in the Flyers.
Yeah.
But, you know, some guy who can pot 20 goals and is going to can do 6 or 7 fights a year and who can really just tune whoever they're up against, right?
That's it.
So do I think the thing that bothered me the most about what Tom Wilson's actions of that game were was when he was taunting from the penalty box, right?
Yeah.
When he was just looking, he was revved up. He was just like flexing. He was just, you know, that was the thing that bothered me the most about it. It sucks that Panarin's out for a long time.
Yeah.
Panarin, they're playing hockey. You know that these situations come up. Panarin knows that someone needs to jump in there. Strome jumped in. Strome wasn't cutting it, so Panarin tried to get in there as well. Panarin got a roughing penalty as well. Ford, I think that was a good call by the referees.
Yeah.
You know, but it just sucks to see such a you know, franchise player like Panarin go down with an injury based on the fact that he needs to be the guy to jump in. So.
Yeah. So that's where it kind of comes down to, where the social media has been blowing up in the look being like, the Rangers are basically pussies.
Yeah, like I read all that too. Yeah.
Exactly. They're at the point where it's happening. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, no, you have nobody on your team to get like a compare with, or sorry, to step toe to toe with like a guy like Tom Wilson. Yeah. Not a lot of teams do, but at the same time, no, they don't really have that kind of grit.
No.
I'm just saying, like, with Tom Wilson doing this, it was, I think, a massive exposure. Massive exposure to the New York Rangers to be like, this is your weakness. We fucking know it.
Well,
like,
look what happened to their team. After the comments came through, them calling for George Parros' job, you know, all that, and the GM and the president lose their jobs.
See, that was bullshit, though. That was a bad move. Okay.
They were fined for a reason. You can't do that.
Fined and fired for a reason. I think that, like, they were just, like, pissed off. who knows? Like, who knows what was going on back there? But I truly feel they were looking for something.
Everyone
on
whining. Everyone on the Rangers team is pissed because Panarin's out for the season.
That's right.
Right. That's the and that's a good reason for them to be pissed.
You're not even making the playoffs. That's like I know you're in the stretch, but you're in the run.
That's a good reason for their fan base and for the team and for the ownership and the GM and the president to be upset, right? They just lost their franchise player who they brought in and they're paying shit ton of money to.
Yeah, that's right.
So of course they're going to be upset, right? But you can't be as reactive as they were. And obviously they were so reactive that they lost their jobs on.
Yeah, bad move, man.
And they bring in Drury to take over who's been working in the organization already.
Yeah.
And Messier is going to come in, and Messier made the comments of like, hey, to win in the NHL, you need to be able to, if you meet your opponents in an alley, you need to be able to stand up for yourself, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And not that I'll be the first to say I'm not a big Mark Messier fan. I'm just like not at all.
I mean, I'm a Canucks fan. Yeah,
I'm from Vancouver. He was the guy who won them the Stanley Cup in 94. Sure. And he was our captain. They got rid of Trevor Linden, you know.
Yeah.
And anyways, one of the worst periods of Canucks hockey. We all know this as Canucks fans, right? So I'm not that hot on Mark Messier, but I don't think that what he's saying was untrue. I think maybe it was a little bit heavy-handed, a little bit like a bit of a wink and a nod to like the past years of hockey when he was playing and all that. But it's true. You need to be able to have someone on your team who can stand up to someone like Tom Wilson. If, you know, they don't need to be able to knock the shit out of Tom Wilson, but they need to be able to answer the bell when someone is ragging around Panarin and his poofy hair is going everywhere, his helmet's off, and he's just flailing around, right? Why is Panarin the guy that has to step up in that situation?
Yeah, no, and it shouldn't. And it was reactionary from them. That line was just on that ice during that time. So I do have to like give them credit. I got to give him credit for like jumping in on this as well. Yeah. That's the basically like saying like did fucking Marcus Naslund jump into the shit? No, well, he had Todd Bertuzzi.
Yeah,
like so, you know what I mean? Like
exactly. I rewatched it, and you know.
Which, by the
way, watch Mika Zibanejad during the whole thing.
Yeah.
Zibanejad's like, this is not my job to get in here, right? He's standing off to the side with his long hair. He's just sitting there, right?
Yeah.
He's not jumping in there because he knows it's not his job. His job is to get on the ice, throw some hits, score some goals, right?
That's right.
Make some plays.
That's right.
Right. That's what Panarin does too. Panarin's not hitting as much as Zibanejad is, but like if anyone's gonna jump in between the two, I would expect Zibanejad to jump in before Panarin does.
But that's. I don't know. I make the reference because it's almost like Bertuzzi and Tom Wilson look really similar right now. They look really close. Well, so like, you know what I mean?
I mean,
I'm not going to lie. Like there's a lot of suspension things happening. There's a lot of goal scoring prowess. There's a lot of toughness happening here as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like Wilson's going down that path. And we all saw how Bertuzzi's career ended. He's only one number off anyway from 43 to 44.
Yeah, that's so right. I'm just saying, good correlation.
I don't know. I feel there's a lot of similarities to this. And as Canucks fans, we kind of get that. And we love the guy who's there, right?
Yeah.
And of course, you want to have Tom Wilson on your side. You want to have him in your ring for sure. But I also do think that, I don't know, he looked very aggressive. That's a problem. So that's the issue here that I saw from Tom Wilson. He seemed to be a little bit more on the instigator. Now, I will say, I didn't watch that game. I didn't see the feel of the game. I didn't watch. So maybe I'm wrong in saying this because you don't know what happened the period before. You don't know what happened with like all these kind of, I don't know, momentum switching shifts, right? So I'm not too sure if Tom Wilson was just reacting in a way, maybe Buchnevich gave him a little shot or something like that, or maybe he was just fucking pissed off about something, but he looked agitated. That's a problem.
The game after, here we got a fight going with the Canucks right
now. Sorry, live update. Travis Hamonic and Chaseon.
Hamonic's ripped off Chaseon's helmet there.
Oh, there you go.
Quick rabbit left punch. They're down. Okay, that was it. That was a quick one. I thought it would be a little bit better.
Okay, anyway, that was not happy? That bad.
Yeah, I know they're talking. They're talking still.
Oh, still talking trash.
Yeah.
I remember when you were in Dallas, motherfucker. That's
it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Chase on.
Keep on chasing, buddy. Yeah. anyway, so what? My kind of thing as well, like with George Parros making that decision, I don't know. Going back to it, Brian Burke said it, spitting chiclets. Mm-hmm. Shout out spitting chiclets. Okay. On that. Brian Burke actually said it in probably multiple interviews. Maybe it was like Tim and Sid or something like that. I don't know. They're all great. but Brian Burke was when he was the head of player safety. When Gary Bettman came up to him and he was just like, "Do you want this job?" And he was like, "Oh fuck!" Like, because you're never right. You're never right. It doesn't matter. This is a job that you're never right. And this yeah. is and he brought up that point, being like, it doesn't matter how you kind of like look at it. You're gonna have to make a decision yeah. at some point.
Yeah.
And now everybody, or sorry, I actually don't think that everybody hates George Parris for this, which is the thing. No, 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 I actually think a lot of people are on his side. So I think he made a great call.
I think George Parris is making his judgment calls based on what he knows to be the rules and he's enforcing those, right? So we saw, like, we could. The whole thing was well, why isn't Tom Wilson suspended for an extended amount of time based on the fact that he's a repeat offender? Well, he's already been suspended this.
Man, he's been suspended so many times. Yeah, I mean, like, it's fucking.
He's been suspended. Oh, Canucks goal.
Oh, ding, 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 ding. Meow, 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 meow. Parrot.
Growlback. Look at that. Number 44 wearing Bertuzzi's numbers. We're just talking about him. Top Bertuzzi, that is. Look at this. Let's see this. This is a little dangle around.
Oh, Ethan Barrett doesn't have a stick.
Oh, and just roots it.
Oh, sharp angle. Shut
Over
up.
Smith. Okay.
Oh, that's dumb.
Yeah, we just probably broke that mic with that scream there. Look at that. Oh, off of the back of his head.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah, there you go. Canucks up 5-2 over the Oilers. Look at this. Yeah, I mean, all that's nice, but Mike, why don't you tell me what you got there? What you drinking today?
I think I'm just drinking the most Glacier fresh beer that I've ever tasted before, and it's a goddamn blue coconut.
Oh, did you see this?
Oh, nice, that was actually really good.
From that? Glacier fresh tasting coconut, the beer out here.
Oh, no more Sasquatch.
I know,
no more Sasquatch. No more Sasquatch on here. Yeah. But
there's probably a reason for that. But
we're going classic. It was on sale at the BC liquor store, so you know, I mean, fuck it, why not send it?
Why not? Why not buy it cheaper where they can sell it for cheaper than the private liquor stores?
That's right.
Yeah, we're the government of BC. We give us money instead of little small businesses.
I pay much more on my property, or like as in rent.
Yeah.
So I gotta go to these guys in order to like be all right.
We're talking to Luke today, who if you were around listening to one of our guests, Luke from Ireland, and we were just saying, hey, you know, what's your favorite beers that you drink? And he's like, yeah, you know, I drink PBR. And we're like, and he's like, I'm just Irish, man, so I'm getting the cheapest shit that's on the oh, that was funny. No, nothing against Irish people, we love you guys.
Well done, sir. But yes, so I think this is a good transition.
Yeah.
I think we kind of need to talk about the Canucks young talent.
Yeah.
I truly feel like the Canucks young talent, we have got a lot coming in right now, including with Rathbone, including, you know, Pod Colson, who we haven't even seen recently, right? So I don't know. I think it's going to be, I think as a young team, we're going to be looking really nice.
Yeah, I'm just watching a little bit of this games on here, a little bit of highlights, talking about young Canucks players, man. Zach McEwen just got run, Darnell Nurse tried to run Zach McEwen there. Zach McEwen put a nice hit into him. It looks like Darnell Nurse cut his chin on the ice, maybe. Anyways, so Zach McEwen, another young Canucks. I mean, he's been playing for a couple years now. This is his second season.
Yeah,
but
I'm a fan,
Jack Rathbone, first goal.
Yeah.
First goal. And I think, I don't know, you know, I've been paying attention to Jack Rathbone since we drafted him.
Nice.
I think we drafted him in like the fifth or sixth round.
Yeah, late.
Something like that.
Late.
Ended up in Harvard, you know, was definitely focusing on his scholastic career.
Yeah.
As well as his Family. Hockey career. And I think it was through the hard work of Canucks prospect development personnel, Chris Higgins, who also went to university college in the States.
He did.
Played there, and they convinced him to sign with us last year.
Hell yeah.
And to leave Harvard early. My goodness. And I really think, I'm a huge fan of Jack Rathbone. I mean, he plays a very similar style of hockey to Quinn Hughes. And hey, we have to talk about Jack Rathbone when he was playing at Harvard. His defense partner last year was none other than Fox.
Oh, Adam Fox.
Fox.
Oh shit, for New York Rangers, and
who is definitely a candidate for Calder Trophy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
he looks really good.
Sorry, not Calder Trophy, Norris Trophy.
Yeah,
the
exactly,
Norris Trophy.
Yeah.
So he's definitely going to be up there, right? Mm-hmm. He's playing on a New York Rangers team, which has not been the best this year.
Yeah,
but as a young sophomore defenseman, right?
He found a top four role.
You know, exactly. And this was who Jack Rathbone was playing with last year in Harvard. Mm-hmm. For the 2 years that he was in Harvard, his defense partner was Adam Fox. So,
man, you know, the New York Rangers have had some like serious like drama this year as well. Like, I remember like fucking D'Angelo. Like, he bye. Bye. See you later. Like, yeah. You
know, I mean, I don't know. I heard it. Like, if I'm the owner of any team, it doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah.
Right. If you're not wanting to be on the team anymore, and you're not buying into the culture. Right.
Yeah, goodbye.
But others are. Then it's like that's a player problem. If the players aren't buying into it en masse, then it's a coaching problem, right? So the problem is D'Angelo didn't want to be playing it there anymore.
That's
so
right.
Of course, so they're just gonna say goodbye to him. You need people to buy into your team culture, right?
Goodbye, exactly.
And if they're not buying in,
and a guy like Adam Fox, for example, he seems to be like that guy, and he's been able to succeed in that situation.
Totally.
New York Rangers weren't doing well at the beginning of the season. No. Like, that's the only reason why. But they went on the heater.
Yeah,
and they really kind of like
when Zibanejad heats up, man. There, you know, Zibanejad has a couple 6-point games this year.
Yeah, Panarin went out for a while with political things as well, right? Yeah, like, man, that's a team that's a little tough.
And now Panarin's out for the rest of the year, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I mean,
going back to Canucks prospects on this one here.
Yeah. So I'm so happy to see Jack Rathbone with his first goal today. Just a lovely. Enters the play from the point, off a deflection from a block shot by Jace Hollerick. Just a little bit of a drag move and just potted it.
Yep.
He was the third goal before Koskinen got pulled.
Yeah.
Fantastic to see that, man. Give the young guys some looks, right?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't said it at all this year yet, right? I've been saying the Canucks are still going to make the playoffs for many, many, many weeks.
You have been.
We're not mathematically out of it.
Yeah.
But I think it's just Montreal is one win away and we're one loss away from that happening. So the Canucks most likely aren't going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah. Which, can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, we can talk about that for a second.
God.
It's just been a crazy year, man. It's been a crazy year for a bunch of teams. And one of the teams that's been the most crazy for is the Canucks, right? We have a lot of travel issues. We had that compact schedule to start. Then we were off for 3.5 weeks. Now we have a compact schedule to end. In fact, we're going to be playing games after everyone else has already finished. You know, we're going to be playing against Calgary, which will be fun because, I mean, those games probably aren't going to mean anything.
Yeah.
So it'll be great to see, like, you know, the Canucks playing against Markstrom and Tanev and just seeing, just giving the young guys some looks, right? So let's get back on track with that, right?
Yeah.
Colin, great to see that guy.
Man,
great to see that guy
right
playing.
Right on, yeah.
Jonah Gadjevich is on our taxi squad now.
Yeah.
You know, he might get some looks. We've got Jace Holler. We've got Tyler Gravac.
Gravac,
right?
We've got him
playing. He just scored a goal, right? He scored the fifth goal tonight. So, you know, getting those young folks some looks, right? I would love to see Mikey DiPietro get a game.
Sure.
Love to see it. Probably won't because I think that what we should be doing in this situation is just playing the shit out of Demko.
Yeah,
Why not? We just handed him a five-year, I can't remember what his contract was.
Five-year
contract.
And in this game as well, he's made some great
dive-in saves. Oh, man, you were saying Shades of Flurry.
Shades of Flurry,
2009.
Yeah, it mimicked.
Yeah,
mimicked
exactly.
It, like 100%.
He's done a couple
against
full
Nicholas
body,
Lidstrom.
Full
yeah, exactly.
Full body moves, right?
Full body twists over, and you don't find that. But I swear to God, like Demko, he has, all right, I say Shades of Flurry, I want to say Shades of Carey Price. Like, he's very precise. He's very precise in where he moves. His movements are calculated, and the way that he, like, actually, like, when you look at him, like, when you watch how he goes, oh, man, his body movements, like, really kind of have that ordeal. I know that's a high standard to go for, but I'm just saying he looks really similar to
that.
Hey,
man, you know.
But anyway, that's me.
No, I agree with you on that, man, and I think that, you know, we should be playing. I mean, we came out of the break. Holtby was showing that he was the fire goalie for
that
point. But I think at this point, we just need to be playing Demko.
Playing the hot hand.
You give Holtby a couple more.
Yeah.
And I would just love to see Mike DiPietro get in there.
Yeah.
Just give him a game, right?
Take a look.
Maybe he gets one of the Calgary games towards the end. Who knows? Right now, it's about giving the Canucks prospects and younger players looks, right?
Yeah.
It's about just giving them opportunities to play game pace, to check McDavid and Draisaitl to show what hopefully next year some of them are going to be doing full time, right?
Yeah.
Jack Rathbone, I hope and I think that we have a full time defenseman in him next year. You know, maybe even he's going to be I think this year is the first year in 3 or 4 years where we haven't had a player in the Calder race, mm-hmm. right? I thought Nils Höglander would be the guy to do it, but it's just the opportunity didn't happen for him this year.
Kaprizov, just unreal, man.
And a couple of the goalies, Lankinen and a couple of the goalies out there, right? So it's just not happening this year for him. But, you know, I feel like Höglander is going to come back and be a real key part of our top line minutes.
Yep. He's playing top line minutes. Line of JT Miller, yep. Brock Besser, and him, like, I love it.
Scored a goal 34 seconds into the game. Ugh, so, you know, he's that kind of player. He's tenacious and he can.
That's right.
Anyways, I'm such a fan of what the Canucks have coming up. And, you know, we're going to see Paul Colson next year.
We're
not going to get to see him this year. We're going to get to see him next year.
We're watching this thing. Darnell Nurse is like trying to come up against Zach McEwen.
Yeah.
And then McEwen's just taking slashes of the back.
Yeah.
Unreal.
And there you go. Darnell Nurse is calling there him a pussy.
It is. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, Darnell Nurse,
who looks like the pussy in that situation?
Yeah. Darnell Nurse, who has a Band-Aid with a little bit of blood on his chin?
Yeah.
Or Zach McEwen, who has just a man's mustache?
Oh, right here. Okay,
yeah, there we go. Anyways. I really like Darnell Nurse. Just that being said, I do like Darnell Nurse. Don't want to take anything away from him. I think he's a fantastic defenseman. But he's obviously in the box now for a reason.
So back to seeing where our talent is kind of like coming out the pipeline right now. I think we're looking really good.
Hey, I'm excited for what the future holds. And I mean, I know that we were all excited last time this time of year last year. Because the Canucks were, you know, starting to enter the playoffs. We had the play-in round where we just dominated Minnesota and then put up a great series against St. Louis and then a hard-fought series against Vegas, which I think really tired Vegas out, and they didn't end up going to the Stanley Cup Finals.
And we set a bar really high.
Yeah,
which is fine. And by the way, we're doing all this without Patterson.
Yeah. That's another thing that needs to be recognized. I'm glad that you brought that up, Mike, because that's another thing that needs to be recognized is like Pedersen played, I think he's played 26 games this season.
Yeah.
You know, he had 25 points.
Ish,
He's our number one. Brock Besser, Miller, fantastic players are key components of our team, but they're not the franchise player that Pedersen is.
We need
Pedersen to win at any level. We need Pedersen to at least be playing 50% of the games of the season, which barely happened this year. That's another thing to remember is that we haven't had Pedersen.
Yeah, and we need to be, we need that core locked, and that's going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. So with Jake Virtanen almost being like, kind of sent out.
I mean, we'll see what happens with Jake's contract for next year.
I'm just saying, man. Like with Mr.
Shotgun Jake, I really like. I don't know, but maybe it's our duty to talk about that. But I kind of think it is.
I don't know. I think it is for sure.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, for those not in the know, right? There's been sexual misconduct allegations levied against Virtanen. Mm. I feel like team ownership has handled that in the appropriate manner.
Yeah.
Right. They're not condemning him, but they put him on leave, right?
Yeah.
From the team.
Yeah.
That's the right move to make. There's a third party investigation happening.
Yeah.
So, you know, I if there was any wrongdoing done, I hope that comes out and that the punishment is swift and appropriate for the actions. And if nothing bad happened, then, you know, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Jake Virtanen being on the team next year, if he is going to be on the team next year. Definitely underperformed this year as well. So, you know, who knows if anything that's going on was going on during the season. And maybe
we don't know. And so we got to give the benefit of the doubt, and we're going to see what's happening there.
Yeah.
But long story short, if this does mean that he is going to get off the payroll, I don't know what that. I don't. I don't I make think, these decisions. I don't know what's going to happen.
I've been thinking
here.
That there is. There has been a. There was. I thought there was a great chance that the person selected in the expansion draft for Seattle was going to be Jake Virtanen, either Jake Virtanen or Braden Holtby.
Yeah.
I thought that either one of those two. I don't see this situation coming to a close before the draft.
Mm.
You know, as investigations take place, they definitely take a few months, yeah. and you have to go through the process. And if there is, you know, charges that need to be laid and all that kind of stuff, I don't see Jake Virtanen being picked, being the player that's going to get picked from Seattle. Right? Yeah. Seattle's not going to go after a player that's mired in this sort of turmoil, this sort of situation going on, right? So,
yeah.
But at the same time, I really don't think, based on his performance alone this season, that we're going to see Jake Virtanen back in the Canucks blue, white, and green next season. So that opens things up a little bit more, I guess. Luongo's cap recapture comes off the books next year. We have Louis Erickson still for one more year, right? Brandon Sutter's
because I know off the books it, I know year. Degraded.
Yeah.
Really?
No, Louis Erickson is his cap hit is $6 million, but I think what the team ends up paying him is like $1 million or something. For
right.
Next year.
That's what.
Of course, guy's gonna get paid, right? He's not gonna go anywhere else. You know, who knows? Maybe we see...
I think he's going to retire.
I think we see him staying in... I think we see him staying until the contract's done unless he goes to another team. If he goes to another team, they might try to bury his contract and he might end up back in Sweden.
I think he's going back to
celebrated Swedish hockey player, so, like, yeah. Why would he not? He's,
why not?
What, 30,
33, 34? Dude, he's, like, 35.
35, yeah, something
35,
around
36.
Like, yeah, for sure. Anyway, so, yeah. So, he... he is 36. He's 36 years old.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we'll see all what happens with that. Maybe we end up trying to get Seattle to select him and we end up dishing a second or third round pick with them and a prospect or something. Who knows? It most likely won't.
But to be honest here, I think with the contracts coming up that we're going to be able to free up some cap space, we can't afford to get more players. We need to afford to lock down our players. Yeah. So that's our goal. That's our intention. And if it doesn't happen, there is going to be a big firing happening. There's going to be a bad kind of move.
Well,
and honestly, get the Aquilinis out. Like, if that's a problem, fuck them. Like, yeah, exactly.
The Aquilinis have made some pretty suspect decisions lately. Here. But, you know, let's be honest. They're running a business, they're making business decisions.
Yeah,
right?
I feel like they're making emotional decisions.
Yeah,
that's
my
problem.
In some cases,
that's my issue. Like, I felt the whole
Donnelly situation was a bit of a fuck up.
I thought that was pretty... I think a Trevor Linden thing was an emotional thing as well. We weren't in the room
for that, obviously.
Yeah,
but,
of course not. But, we're not there.
It did give a hugely
But we're looking pretty fucking Buffalo right now. And that's a problem
I would not put us in the same thing as Buffalo.
Well, I'm saying it's looking pretty related. I don't know. I'm just saying this is an issue. Yeah, like, this is a problem.
I just wouldn't put us in the same category as Buffalo.
I'm not going to say they are because I don't know what they're going through.
Yeah.
I'm not in that office. I'm not working in that environment.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But what I am saying and what it kind of feels like is that we're still fucking holding on to 2011 and this is a goddamn issue. Like, I'm sorry, but it seems like we're trying to stay in the playoff window and we're trying to gain revenue.
Yeah, but
that's what I'm fucking seeing
so
here.
That's definitely true. I mean, the Aquilinis are running a business, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They were like a construction business, right, before, right? They did development and construction.
Yeah,
and stuff
sure.
like that, right?
Yeah.
So they're looking at it from the for-profit angle. They're only beholden to the fans to a certain point. Then they're beholden to their bottom line at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
So yes, absolutely, I agree with you. A lot over the years, a lot of decisions by the Aquilinis, I have been definitely not a fan of, right? Yeah. So, I mean. I don't, that's ownership, right? So I think that the only thing that like can really, that we might really see happen would be like, switching the general manager, switching the president of hockey operations.
Nobody else wants the fucking Canucks right now.
Yeah.
So, except for the Sedins. I'm running for Sedins presidency.
Yeah.
Like,
hey,
let's go.
Let's get them back involved in the
let's
franchise,
get them back in,
know?
Man. Absolutely. Yeah. They built that culture. They built that culture.
Totally.
That Horvat
and
all these guys are going
What are those
through.
Guys doing right now? They're like training for marathons right now. You
yeah,
know?
Because
like,
they're studs.
Yeah, man. Exactly. Right. So like, let's get them back involved in it. Let's get, they're just like solid solid Canucks, you know,
yeah.
the best Canucks that we've had. I mean, like, look what happened with Trevor Linden. Anyways,
I think we veered off a little
bit.
We need to kind of wrangle it up a little.
Hey, something that Jim Benning and crew have been doing well is drafting over the years. We have lots of prospects that are going to get some good looks. I want to see more of it this year. I want to see more of, you know, give Travis Green, hopefully he re-signs with us.
I hope so.
Hopefully Travis Green resides with us, and hopefully we can get some looks for our younger players to show what could possibly be the situation next year with some of them, right?
Yeah,
we're gonna have a few new players, and I think it's really about. I'm glad we got Demko signed, and we got Demko signed for a bridge contract at lower than what he could probably end up making if he hits it big, right? If he continues off this kind of play that he's been doing this year in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And we got to get Quinn Hughes, Pettersson locked up.
Awesome.
I think we probably see bridge deals coming their way.
Yeah.
Something in the 8-9 for 4-5, 5-6 maybe in there. I don't think we see the big 10-year contract happening, which will probably be the next contract for those guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, getting those guys locked up, lock up the core. We've got Horvat, we've got Besser, we've got Demko, we've got JT Miller.
Yeah.
We've got those guys locked up for multiple years.
Yeah.
You know, that's the core of the team.
We're gonna
look all right.
So, yeah, we're gonna look all right.
Tyler Myers who's had a better showing this year than he did last year.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I don't think that this year is going to be that year, which sucks. But I don't know. We have a lot of good things to look forward to. But
we do, and potentially depending on how this year finishes for the Canucks, we could be looking at draft lottery. We could be looking at a first overall pick.
Think about that. First time in franchise history. 50
years.
Period.
51 years.
Unreal. Unreal. Holy shit!
First time.
What if we ever got a first round pick?
Man,
that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound nice?
Hey, well, that sounds fucking nice to me. Even if we're in the top five, we could still end up with Quinn Hughes' brother.
Ooh.
In the top five pick, right?
Wait, what's his name? Do you know?
Luke Hughes. We could end up with Jesper Wallstad, the one of the top ranked goalies. He's going to go in the probably top 10. He's going to be a top 10 pick this year.
Okay.
He's playing in the Swedish league. He's been playing in men's league. He's an 18-year-old, right?
Lights up.
Could end up with him. Probably wouldn't end up with Owen Power, who's kind of the consensus number one right now.
Yeah.
But there's a few other players out there. We're gonna end up with someone nice.
Yeah.
In the top 10. I think this year it's like if you're kind of looking at the top 12 is sort of consensus like NHL players.
Yeah.
In that area, and of course, you know, the Canucks have been known under Jim Benning to draft pretty darn well. So we find some gold in the second round. We find Demko, second round pick. Cole Lind, second round pick.
Yeah.
Höglander, second round pick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we find these guys in the second round. We find players who probably should have gone in the first and the second round for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that draft too. You know, the draft coming up. Let's continue on with the good prospects in the system.
Yep.
Beef up our prospect system because we have so many graduate from them in the last years.
Yeah.
Right. We need to restock that, and I feel like we're gonna be good to go.
Awesome.
So yeah, looking forward to that. Just looking forward to seeing the young guys play.
For sure.
Is really what makes me feel really excited about this team.
So Race, moving forward, what do we think about your fantasy our fantasy league, by the way?
Oh yeah. Fuck. So we'll end with this.
God damn it.
I just want to say, I'd feel bad if I didn't mention just how Bush League you're dropping a patch already.
It was amazing.
Yeah. It was fantastic. I think you
felt like the Joker because being like it's chaos.
Yeah, it
I'm
is,
throwing
it is
chaos.
Chaos
but, yeah, but, I threw it in
you know,
there.
You basically
sure.
just help the person who's 100%. Probably going to win by giving them Pacioretty.
100%. I dropped him.
Yeah.
Let him have it.
Drop Pacioretty.
I threw it into the lead, though. Anybody could have, like...
You didn't look at the waiver wire position.
What does that mean?
So the waiver
what
wire
waiver wire positioning mean?
Okay, so in Yahoo Hockey Pools, there's a waiver wire position, right? It tells you who has the first...
Priority
for it. Waiver wire priority.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I was like, as soon as Pacioretty went on, I was like, are you sure you want to do that, Mike? Because I was sitting 11th in the league. Obviously, I'm going to put in for Pacioretty. I'd be silly not to. I already have two of the best left wings anyways.
Yeah.
I have Ovechkin and Brady Tkachuk, right? So I'm just trying to get the three best left wingers.
Yeah.
Anyways.
When does this even happen? Like, yeah. how does a priority even work?
Like, you know, Peter is... Oh, damn. Hey, it's actually pretty close right now. I mean, Peter is... pretty close. I'm not even going to lie. It's like Liam and Peter is pretty darn close.
Oh, snap, son.
You know? Pacioretty.
Pretty Ooh. Sweet.
Pacioretty.
Pretty awesome. No. Pretty cool.
Well, where's Pacioretty on his team? He didn't drop Pacioretty.
Did he drop patches?
Maybe. Oh, you know what? Maybe he did because I bet you he's playing strategy, and I bet you Las Vegas doesn't have very many games left this week.
Can he drop patches?
Yeah. Let's see. Is Pacioretty available? No. Where the fuck is Pacioretty on his team? Anyways.
Yeah.
Close for the finals. First place is 249 to 246. Yeah. So they're within 3 points of each other. Right now, I'm in the third place game. I'm behind by about 30 points.
Yeah.
And you are playing for the... You've already finished.
Yeah.
You finish? Fifth or sixth?
Six.
Yeah. Anyways, not bad in a 12-team league.
Yeah.
You want to finish in the top half, right?
Yeah, but I finished with third points in the league.
Liam, who I beat, I think, twice this year already... I finished 12-1, I think, and didn't get into that final game. So I'm playing Señor El Perry for the
third place. Man, Pacioretty's dropped. Yeah, he's waivers.
Yeah. So he probably just picked it up to get extra games.
There it is. Exactly.
Yeah. So, pick them up for them. You know, I'm hopeful that I'm going to end up finishing third. It's not going to be bad. I hope third place gets their money back at least.
So it doesn't matter. Yeah. It wouldn't have mattered if you played him anyway. Yeah. It would have been like totally fine.
We're totally fine.
But looks like you might be beating El Perez.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Holy shit. Is Liam going to win? This is going to be fucking nuts.
You know,
Connor McDee's.
I'd love to
unreal.
See. I'd love to see Liam, who is our commissioner, by the way. Take it after finishing. He finished in the sixth playoff spot, didn't he? Wasn't he the last in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'd love to see him take the win. I'd love to see him beat. I've never met Peter before, so you know I could care less.
Doesn't matter. Exactly.
All that being said, Peter has been a tremendous, tremendously skilled fantasy hockey player this year.
Yeah, man, it's been great that he got drafted in an auto draft team that he did, but he worked at it.
Yeah, like he worked at it to make his team well, you know. Ended up with Pasternak, Matthews, Marner on his team. So, you know,
Tavares. He had Toronto.
Yeah, he basically had Toronto and Boston, right?
And it worked out really well.
So it worked out really nice for him. That being said, bad luck when he was all complaining about how we vetoed one of his trades.
Yeah, it's like, bro,
his brother plays in the league and tried to do the amateur fantasy thing in the league where you trade when you're not making the playoffs. You trade all your best players to a team that you want to win.
Oh yeah,
and of course it gets voted down. We have veto in our league, so of course it just gets vetoed. And then he went on and cried a little bit on our WhatsApp chat. Anyways,
that's a good way of
saying. But besides that negative look that he had, played really really well. So I am proud of our fantasy our Yahoo Fantasy League this year in that the majority of the players were in it up until just the last couple of weeks when it was like clear that a bunch of people weren't going to
end up
winning.
Yeah, but we had someone who didn't play in it. It's like fuck me, man. Like, well, God,
you know what?
It.
I mean, they can throw their money away, and I'm okay if there's one or two of those. But when you have like a league where half of them aren't setting their lines, half of them is just like
it's fucking,
you know,
trash,
even when I'm playing against you. I want it to be close and competitive. Like, and so many times this year, I was ahead by 100 points. Like, three days into the week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, it's not fun for me for those days. I don't want to blow people out.
No,
I don't want to blow people out unless I got blown out by that person earlier in the league, earlier in the season. Then I want to blow those people out. But I'm in it. For the competitive, like, let's set our lines, let's do what we can to like use strategy against one another, right?
That's right.
Let's do that. That is what makes fantasy fun for me. It's not about the money. It's not about the like I know so much better than you. It's about the strategy that you use to try and gain advantage over your opponent.
Yep.
Hopefully your opponent knows how to use strategy against you, right?
Yep.
So, you know, the weeks that I lost, the 2 weeks that I've lost so far, my players just didn't have good weeks. You know, it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
gonna happen. I lost to one of the.
You're like the Patriots.
I lost my only regular season loss. I was like first in most of the weeks in points, and then the week that I lost, I was the lowest in the league. And it's just like, you know, Jack Eichel got injured.
It's true.
Zibanejad was negative points that week. So, you know, it's it is what it is. But I just want to say shout out to Liam. Thank you so much.
Good job, buddy.
For putting together this league. Applause to you, and I hope you win against Peter. I hope you win your own league.
Because
that's always fun when you win your own league.
It's always good
fun because you put a lot into it to make the rules. Of course, I think we'll be going over the rules for next year. We'll talk about that. But
for sure.
That being said, that's our last little hot take on hockey fantasy, I think.
Yeah, and then next week I think we want to talk about playoffs because I think playoffs are going to be more solidified, and we're going to – I think we should do our hot takes on who's going to win those playoff matches. Yeah. So
Because we'll be able to sort of project what we think think it's going to be that time. And I bet you this time next week some of the playoff matchups will be set already.
That's right.
Hopefully. So we can talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about, you know, the playoff tree. Talk a little bit about Chewbacca living on Kashyyyk. But yeah, we'll get into all that next week. Race for the mic.
Fuck yeah.
Maybe we can talk a little bit about Blue Jays. Blue Jays won again against the
Flyers
today. So,
actually, yeah.
You know, Vlad Guerrero Jr. just like dropping 46 pounds and just up there in the top 10 of batting.
Can ask taking names. Talk about our bullpen. See what's going on there.
Talk about our bullpen. Talk about all that kind of stuff. So we're more than just hockey on this show.
When hockey is finished
this season, of course we'll continue to talk about hockey and the prospects and the draft as we go through the playoffs. We'll be up to date on the playoffs all the way through, and then we'll be talking about the draft, but we'll also be talking a little bit about the Blue Jays.
All right.
What about Canada's own teams? Okay.
Well, thank you everybody in Listen Land. We'll see you next week, and you stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
Love you all.
Bye.